have a good time. Put a smile on your face, yeah. KBKM and Elation Radio. Even brighten your day and help you through the night. Bring you good music, KBKM and Elation Radio. And here's your host.
Lady Michelle Austin. I know what you've been through, you've been through. Don't think that it's only you. Only you, yeah. Pick your head up, get up, it's only right, take back your life. Pick your head up, get up, take back your life, and come and talk to me. Speak your peace, speak your peace, speak your peace, come and talk to me. Talk to me. Speak your peace. Speak your peace. Out your mouth. Hey, speak your peace. Come and talk to me. Speak your peace. Speak your peace. Speak your peace. I know that you're in pain. You gotta love yourself enough to make the change. Yeah. Speak into your eyes. Take back your life, pick your head up, get up, take back your life, and come and talk to me. Speak your peace, speak your peace, speak your peace, come and talk to me. Speak your peace, speak your peace, out loud. Speak your peace, come and talk to me. Speak your peace, speak your peace, out your mouth. Hey, speak your peace, come and talk to me.
Hello, Thriver Nation. How are you? Woo! I get so excited every week when I know that I'm going to get another opportunity to talk to all of you. Thank you, thank you, thank you for tuning in to Speak Your Peace with Lady Michelle. And y'all know who I am. I'm your host, Lady Michelle. So I just want to welcome everyone to our virtual safe zone here. So we are gearing up for something really special tonight. I'm telling you, I'm going to get all these other things out the way so we can get really deep down into it. But we know that this platform, of course, is centered around education of domestic violence, toxic relationships. We talk about the different forms of trauma here. We talk about self-love, finding your voice, and many other things that come up that as we peel back the layers of trauma and abuse, we talk about those things here on this platform. And Speak Your Peace with Lady Michelle, it was designed with each one of you in mind. It was designed to enlighten you, to educate you, to inspire and empower each one of you. So that's what we do here. And as you know, of course, one of my goals. I love it. One of my goals here for this podcast is to help my listeners to create and live a more integrated and deeply satisfying life. And I really want you guys to live that life as a whole person. And so when we talk about these different topics relating to trauma, I want to make sure that I'm always sharing tips and techniques that will help you to create that that more balance in your life and to really show up as that whole person that we talked about. So, you know, this is why we are here, and, you know, we have a bunch of things going on in our world, and so we just want to make sure that we help you with, you know, how you may even reinvent yourself when you've gone through trauma. We know that we talk about not staying in that victim mentality, but moving on past being a survivor, but moving on to being a thriver. So we are definitely going to share things with you to help you even to reinvent yourself on that level. Now, you know, we got to get to this part. Got to do it. Might have somebody new listening. Want to make sure everybody got it. Got to put this disclaimer out there. All content of this podcast is intended for general and educational information purposes only. And it is not intended or implied to be a substitute for professional mental health, trauma advice, or therapy sessions. You must never, ever, ever, ever disregard or delay seeking professional treatment based upon content that you hear on this podcast, right? So I want you to promptly, you know, consult your physician or call 911 if you believe you're having a medical emergency, a mental, you know, breakdown. If you feel like you need to step away from this podcast, you need to turn it off and come back later, I want you to do a mental health checkup and, you know, remove yourself from this podcast if it's something that's triggering you, okay? So we want to make sure we get all that stuff out of the way so we can get deep down into our special guest tonight, all right? I'm so excited about this woman. Let me just kind of give you guys like a little small background. I have been searching for my family, and I have been doing some genealogy searching and some things like that. And I came upon some people on my father's side of the family, and we had a family reunion this past June, I believe it was June, going into July. Yes, last week of June. And so I've, you know, connected with so many amazing people. But along the way of connecting with these amazing people, I found out that we had a lot of trauma in our genealogy. And so we begin to talk about different things and different ways that we can help others and bring about awareness, right? And so here's this wonderful, amazing guest that I have tonight who happens to be related to me. I found her. So I have been out here collecting cousins. As one of my other cousins, she said her children told her that that's what she's doing, and I feel like that's what I'm doing too. I'm out here collecting them. And so I am super excited to invite you to sit back and just enjoy this story. She has an amazing story of the bad things that happened to her, but the wonderful part that she's doing now and how she's just, you know, helping people along the way. And she gave me a title, and I think this has something to do with, it might even be her play or her book. We're going to find that out tonight. But From the Streets to the Stage, So Help Me Thriver Nation, welcome Osunji. And I know I did not just say her name right, but she's going to fix it. Hey,
Cass. Hello. Can you guys hear me good?
It's a little low, but we can hear you.
Okay.
I can hear you, though.
What about now?
That's good. We're gonna work right with it. Yes.
All right. Thank you.
How are you?
I am great. Osunji.
Oh, right. Okay. So.
Yes.
We're going to get it before the night is over. I'm going to do it. I'm going to get this speech impediment together tonight.
That's okay.
So.
Well, how
welcome.
Is everyone? Thank you.
Listen, we are doing really well tonight. We are super duper fantastic tonight, and I'm just happy to have you here. Your name, I know it's a beautiful name like that. I know it got to mean something special. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yes. My name is Mother Earth. It is from Africa. My grandmother actually gave me the name Osunji from the Oshun tribe over there in Yoruba. Now, I've never been there, but I meet a lot of people from that tribe, and they tell me, oh, your name is beautiful. It means, it's from the Oshun Queen. So, yeah.
Wow. I love that. I love that. That's amazing. And you're wearing that name well. So
thank you. Thank you.
You're welcome. So listen, I want you to just get deep down right into it. Dig deep. Tell my Thriver Nation about you. How did, you know, what happened? What was this trauma? What, where did it take you? The journey that you went on. Give us the 411.
Yeah. Well, I was born into Chicago to some very young parents. And, you know, doing their best. I was born in 68 in Chicago. And over the years, I ended up being sexually abused from the age of about 2 all the way up until I was about 13 years old. And it was by different people in family, family friends, even children, older kids from the neighborhood. And it really molded me and, you know, made me have low self-esteem, didn't think much about myself. I began to think that that was a normal part of life and how living, you know, is. Once I, you know, the sexual abuse stopped, I was already done for. You know, just didn't think anything of myself. But I always had a little hidden talent, a little light shining that would never flicker out. But as soon as I graduated high school, which was in 1986, the only thing that there was to offer was crack cocaine. And that's, you know, from my eyes, my perspective. Of course, there were other things to do, but with everything I had gone through and with the trauma, I didn't see anything bright for my future. So at the age of 18, I started smoking crack cocaine, and it took me on a 22-year journey through hell, peak hell, but I had highlights. I did have 5 beautiful children. Met a lot of great people, you know, relationships that I still have with some people. Some are clean and some are not, but they are my friends, you know, that I can actually say. So the crack cocaine, it was detrimental to my life. I lost my kids twice to social services. I lost everything over and over again during the 22 years. And if you, whatever you think of a crackhead, that's exactly what I was. I did any and everything to maintain my habit, criminal, immoral, just, you know, a lot of things. And it wasn't until 2008 when I went to jail, I actually caught some real time in jail. And to me, real time was 4 months, and that's how much time they had given, because I had been in and out of jail. I'd get in and get out. That was nothing to me. But to go in there and be there for 4 months without my kids, without, you know, just being able to live my life the way that I was, that 4 months helped me change my mind about how I wanted to live, because before that, I never thought I would be crack-free. I thought that that was my life, and because that's what I wanted to do. It took the weight I ended up with a car, a house, acting. Now I'm a comedian. I've been clean 14 years now. And my life just changed. Everything that I ever dreamed of as a kid has manifested. And it's still manifesting right now. Once I surrendered and gave up that idol of that white devil.
Wow. Thriver Nation, let's give some hand claps for this clean for 14 years. I love it. That is amazing. And
thank you.
I know it hasn't been easy. Sure it's a daily struggle that you have to go through, but you are doing it and you are making a difference. And I'm sure your children's lives, those who are around you, I'm sure you're encouraging them, right?
Yes, definitely. My children, they're now adults, but they did go through the foster care, the living with relatives, even going through a few nightmares, you know, living in other places that they dealt with trauma. But my kids are successfully college graduated, all five of them, college graduated, working their own businesses. I have a school teacher. I have an esthetician. I have a master hair braider. I have a graphic artist and a laundromat, and he's autistic, and he has his own business in a laundromat.
Get out of here,
yeah, they said they were going to do opposite of what I did, and they went hard. And I'm so proud of them, very proud of them.
I love it. I love it. That is amazing. That is, and, you know, when I heard a little bit of your story, I knew that I wanted to bring you on because you you lived exactly what we talk about. When we talk about that childhood trauma, my organization talks a lot about and helps through childhood trauma, and I being a survivor now turned thriver of childhood trauma, I went through some of those things that you went through, the low self-esteem, and, you know, you begin to find yourself doing things like, you know, alcohol and drugs, and you go through depression.
Yes,
you know, all of
depression
those
was
yeah.
the biggest part, depression. And it takes a little while to become undepressed even after the drugs because then you miss that life. And 14 years later, I used to have so much fun. Sometimes I feel like life is boring, you know. Nothing would ever take me back there, but you still have to watch out for depression. You have to watch out for that, you know, and realize when you're depressed and talk to somebody, you know. Find somebody, and I like how you did the disclaimer, find professional help. I'm a strong believer in that.
Yes. Yes, we make sure that everybody knows I am a strong believer of getting a therapist. I have several therapists. I have, you know, I always tell people I have, of course, I have Jesus. He's first in my life, of course. And then I have my regular therapist. And then I have another therapist. I have a wound therapist. I have a life coach. I have a mentor. You have to keep that balance in your life. You have to, you know, you got to know which one can help, what portion that you're experiencing, especially when we've gone through childhood trauma, because we deal with different things. We've experienced life in a different way. And so when you have to, you know, you're going through that mental illness and you're going through, you know, you've dealt with molestation and you've dealt with people betraying you and your family and incest and all kinds of things. And, you know, you got to be able to deal with that on different levels. And one particular person may not be equipped to handle that. This therapist might not be
right.
equipped to handle it like the other one. So I just always
tell
people before they say.
Make a mistake. Mm-hmm. Yeah. A lot of
go
people
ahead.
Make a mistake of speaking to family members or friends, and they don't have the, they're not totally unbiased, you know. And that's why you got to seek someone who doesn't know you, you know, who won't give a personal opinion and things like that. I've actually gone to school and earned a bachelor's degree in behavioral science, and I have a master's in psychology as well. And that's why I'm a very strong, I'm not licensed yet. I just got those degrees. But I do a lot of street counseling myself, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I talk to a lot of strangers. People walk up to me all the time, you know, asking for advice or if they hear my story, and, you know, and I give a lot of good, unbiased advice.
Awesome. And that's what's needed, because you have people, when they find that they can speak to someone and it's, they feel safe talking to you, they feel like you won't judge them. And that's why a lot of people who've been traumatized are walking around as now adults, and they've been traumatized way back when they were children. But because they haven't found anyone that they can talk to that would be able to, you know, give them advice, like you said, in a non-judgmental way. So thank you for doing that.
Yes, you're welcome.
Yeah, so I know you're doing a lot of things. You are, I mean, I'm telling you, when I found out some of the things you were doing, I really felt really good. And the reason why important for me to bring you on tonight is, again, because we talk a lot about the generational trauma, and we know that a lot of times, you know, within our tree, there's a lot of different things that go down from generation to generation to generation. And I was talking to someone the other day, and I said, it's no way that we can continue to say, oh, I'm going to be a generational curse breaker, but we haven't really dealt with that generational trauma that's happening from great-great-grandma.
Right.
Great,
that's
great,
right.
You know what I'm saying? And
some of that trauma we may not never even know about, because some families don't talk. You know, I have a family that doesn't really talk. I don't really know if my mom had, you know, any trauma, because they don't really talk like that, you know?
Yes, yes, absolutely.
I hear
from
all
that
the
generation.
Good, but no bad.
Yes, that generation did not talk about it, and the generations before that. And so you have to do a little bit of digging to find out, and that's what I had to do to find out a lot of things from my mom. And I did find out that she went through a lot of trauma, and it opened up my mind to why she did the things that she did to me, because it was, first of all, unlearned behavior, and it was coming from a place of hurt and, you know, not really knowing what to do, right?
Exactly,
yes. Yes, so now let's talk a little bit about your play. Tell us, how did it come about? What's going on?
Okay. Well, it came from a book that I wrote called The Devil Wrote Me a Letter, and it is available on Amazon. It's less than $10, and it's a powerful testimony, and it's very raw. It's real and raw. About my journey through life. I wrote it while I was in jail serving that time, and it's a part of me being clean. I went to jail. I was 40 years old. This is probably my 16th, 17th time in jail. And this time, like I said, I was sentenced to some actual time. They were going to send me to prison, but, boy, God is a miracle worker. And mm-hmm. I only ended up doing 4 months, and so I just stayed at the county. But when I got there, I fell into kind of a stupor. I was angry. I was mad that my life had been disrupted. You know, I had a life of drinking and drugging every day, and it just all of a sudden, I can't do it now because I am locked away for 4 months. And so I'm angry and just mad, don't want to speak to anyone. And I don't know, I don't even remember writing, but the girls in always shout her name now, Ebony Saunders, because she helped me name it. I gave her the papers, and I said, could you read this? And she was like, you've been writing for 2 days. I'm going to read it. And she said, Miss Stonji, that's what she called me. You know, in jail, they give you the miss because I was older. She said, Miss Stonji, it looked like the devil wrote you a letter. And I said, let me read it. I read it, and it was a letter from the devil angry at me, which is, you know, in terms, it was a letter from myself. The former me was writing the new me a letter saying, how dare you go and try to get clean and change your life and so on and so forth. Because for the past 40 years, I had thought I was nothing. I was unworthy of anything. The only thing that was rewarding was the crack cocaine, you know, and real all honesty. Even though I had children, I loved them dearly. I loved crack way more because I wouldn't stop. And the devil wrote me a letter. It's just basically the devil saying how he's tried to ruin my life from day one, and not just my life, but everybody's life, you know, from day one. And how I allowed that to rule over me and me pour myself into this career of crack cocaine. And so when she gave me that title, I said, okay, the devil wrote me a letter. I got out of jail. I put it away. Maybe 2 years later, I typed up that letter and published it on Amazon, and boom, there you have it. It's been selling and doing well. So someone approached me because they read the book and said, may I please turn this into a stage play? And my God, she wrote that stage play, and it's been sold out 2 times here in Atlanta. And it's just the same name, The Devil Wrote Me a Letter. And the stage play is way more entertaining, but it still tells the truth. It's raw, and it's very real. And that's how they came about.
Wow, that is amazing. That you're,
thank you.
And this is what I try to tell people who've been through trauma, and we try to give hope, right? And that's what I feel that you're giving, hope. You have been,
yes,
courageous when you came out of this thing, and you are giving people hope because we love that you don't have to stay there. Yes, we have all been through some traumatic events, but look at what came out of that. You were able to write this letter.
Yeah.
You were able to express what was going on. And then not only did you publish it, but then it was turned into an award-winning play.
Yes. It has done amazing here in Atlanta, and I would love to bring it anywhere. If they would like that stage play, hit me up now.
All right, we're going to put all the information on our social media pages, and we're going to make sure that we connect it with the Thriving Nation. If anybody's listening and y'all want to have this play, and we need more information like this. We need more plays and books, and it's got to be more than just conferences. You know, we always do the conferences, and you get a few people that come and then they leave and they go out and do same thing. But to be able to, I know when I go to a play, I feel like I'm in there. I'm in with the character, you know?
Yes, and this book and play will have you there. And you'll realize things about yourself. You may not have gone through sexual trauma or drugs, but you may have been addicted to gambling, you know, addicted to anything that takes you away from yourself. You can relate to my story, you know. I can relate to so many other stories, and so many people can relate to my story, and especially for the young ladies who, like you said, feel like they have to stay where they're at, because that's what I thought. I thought that this was all I knew all my life. This is what it is. There was nothing any different for me. But lo and behold, oh, my God, it was. To be normal. I used to never feel normal. And now I feel like a normal like a regular human being.
Oh, that is amazing. That is good because I like what you're saying. It will make you feel normal because a lot of times we try, when we've been through trauma, and I keep saying we because I want everybody to understand that I am here with you all. I don't stand in a place where I'm think I'm better than anybody who's gone through trauma, anything like that. I have been through it too, and I'm right here with you people, right, with you Thriver Nation, right? And so a lot of times when we've gone through it, we begin to normalize going through that trauma. We normalize the things that is happening to us. We start to normalize, you know, and think that this is all we are going to get. This is all we deserve. This is the only type of love we're going to get. And so when you're saying you're doing well, you're clean, you're doing it, we're going to get into the next part, which is your comedy, you're doing all of these different things, that you now feel normal. You feel like, okay, I'm doing something positive with my life. You know, so I really love that you're saying that and that you're living it, not just talking it, but you're living it.
Yes, living it on purpose. I found out that was the key, that whatever you do it on purpose. I was smoking crack on purpose, so now I decided to not smoke crack on purpose, and you got to live with some type of purpose, you know? And
yes.
So now I make sure I live on purpose every day. Every day I'm living on purpose and living my purpose.
Awesome. Awesome. And so now you are making people laugh. So like you said, from the street to the stage. So now tell us about the comedy. How did you get in it? Were you always a comedian? Were you always an entertainer when you were younger or something like that, you know?
Again, that jail, girl, it was the jail, that time that I caught. These girls made me a comedian. Once I started breaking out of my shell and, everybody just love Osunji, because I would sit and tell them stories about my life and the crack, and I don't know how I made it funny, but I would make it funny. It would be so real, you know. It would be funny, and it was real stories, and they'd be like, you should be a comedian. I'm like, but I'm just telling the truth. I'm not trying to be funny. You know, I'm just telling y'all stuff that happened in my life. And I always had a smile on my face. No matter what I went through, I could always smile and make people smile. I was good at hiding my hurt and my pain. And so in jail, they'd come to me every night. Come tell us some more stories about what you did, and tell us what your kids did this time, or, you know, or something like that, and we do it. We used to talk through the bits. I don't know if anybody on here is listening, ever been to jail and know about talking through the bits and through the toilet. But you can actually talk through the bits. So we invented something like what we have now, a radio show that we used to do every night through the toilet. Where the guys could hear you, the girls could hear you, and we'd have discussions, and then there'd be the entertainment hour, and then that'd be me. I'd sing, too. I could sing as well. So I'd sing, I'd tell jokes, and just we'd entertain each other through them toilets and just have a good time. So I started, I got released and with the ankle monitor on. And I was still serving weekends. I had to do 28 weekends in jail. And but during the week, I would go to these comedy shows and see all these comedians. I'd be like, oh, my God, they're hilarious. They're turning their tragedy into laughs, too. And but I still hadn't got on stage or anything, but I just started getting to know these comedians and making them laugh and things like that. And so one day, somebody asked me to host a stage play and just said, because you're so funny. And I did it, and oh, my God, the laughter, it was therapeutic. So I am now, right now, I'm going to pass the crown on because you can only win three times. But I've been Atlanta's hottest female comedian 3 years consecutively. And it happened by mistake. That jail did something to me. That was my rehab. I never went to rehab or anything like that. I had done detox and rehab back in the day, but that never helped me. It never helped me to stop. I guess I wasn't ready. When I was ready to stop smoking crack, I just stopped smoking it, and I ain't smoked it since. And because I made up my mind, no more. And that's how it happened. All this success and stuff that started happening, I was like, I'd be a fool to throw this away. I didn't know I could be blessed so much. And that's how it happened. And so now I'm here. I'm actually, if you hear stuff in the background, I'm at work sitting, because I also work at T.I.'s Trap Music Museum here in Atlanta, which is a dope spot to come and visit. And guess what I play in here? I play a crack.
What?
That's my character. Yes. My character is a crackhead. So my parents are super proud of me that I now get paid to be a crackhead.
Okay. Now you turned that. You flipped that script, huh?
Yes, I did. I flipped the script. Yes. And I thank T.I. I hope he's listening. I really thank him for believing in me and giving me an opportunity to just show what that life was really like, because I'm real good in what I do up here. So I just appreciate that opportunity. And I've been here 3 years at the Trap Music Museum. It's a great place in Atlanta to come and visit and get some great culture of what times were like in the 80s. The 90s, when I don't know how many of you guys remember. You can ask your parents or grandparents, but yeah, the 80s and 90s was pretty rough on us. If you watch Snowfall, you'll see.
Oh, whew. Well, I'm just a year older than you, so I do remember how bad it was.
Yes.
Unfortunately, you know, my ex-husband, who was my abuser, well, one of my abusers, was addicted to crack. And so I experienced that firsthand, so I do understand what you're saying and all of the things. And I'm just happy to hear that you were able to make that change, because unfortunately some people don't. Some people aren't able to get out. And so I love the things that you're talking about, because you're really giving some encouragement. You're really giving hope to others. Now, I want to say this, though, because I know that there have been some challenges that I'm sure you've gone through. You know, you went to jail, and it did help you to get on the right track. But I'm sure there's been some challenges through that, and I don't want people to leave the show thinking, oh, you know, it's just easy. It's just as easy as 1, 2, 3. So, like, talk a little bit about, you know, your challenges and what you experienced.
Definitely having a background is not the greatest. Having a bad background, because here I am with degrees, but notice I don't have a license. Georgia is a little different, but there are things that I'm hearing that I can work around, because I do have a pretty bad background. That's a negative. All that jail and stuff, you know, it wasn't anything, nothing great or anything, because it is affecting me to this day, having a criminal background. Police, when they do pull you over, oh, they pulling up everything. So are judges. If you get a ticket, they pull up everything from your past. So those are challenges. Walking away from that life was the biggest challenge for me, the biggest challenge, to where I just had to minute by minute say I'm not going to get high. Not, you know, people say I take it one day at a time. No, the way I got high, I had to take it 1 minute at a time and say I'm not going to get high this minute. I'm not going until it turned into an hour, until it turned into 2 hours, until it turned into a day. You know? know, it's challenging. Family members, some people, when you are normalized, that becomes normal. Some people didn't understand a clean Sunji. They didn't want a clean Sunji because they had nothing to talk about or nobody to help, or, you know, brag about helping, what I had to do. That was very challenging. I lost a couple of family, friends and family because of being clean, you know, not living that life anymore. Oh, you think you this, you think you all that. Yes, I do, because I am, you know. Challenges, it was fast money because, you know, I sold, I smoked, I did everything. And paying bills was different. So
yeah,
it was a lot of challenges. Yeah, a lot of challenges. And still today I have challenges. I don't have a desire, but I actually had a crack dream maybe 2 weeks ago. And that surprised the heck out of me, like, why are you having a crack dream? And I was trying to sneak and smoke crack in my dream, but for some reason I couldn't. Things kept getting in the way, but yeah. So, yeah, I don't think it ever goes away. You just have to make a conscious decision that you're not going to fall into what hurts you so much. You have to make that decision.
That's good that you said you have to make that conscious decision. And would you agree that you have to, one, you got to forgive. Forgive the people who hurt you and forgive yourself. Those are the things that will help you.
Yes, the biggest person to forgive is yourself. Because if you don't forgive yourself, you cannot move on. Because we are our biggest critics. We hurt ourselves more than we could ever imagine, especially just with the way we think. You know, it may not even be actions, but thinking and thoughts manifest into actions. And you must forgive yourself, and you definitely have to forgive those that hurt you. And that's challenging, especially victims of domestic violence, which I was crazy in domestic violent relationships, but I also was a perpetrator of domestic violence too. You know, I couldn't even have a normal relationship because I thought that, you know, fighting was a part of it. And so you have to, you just gotta, you know, like I said, you gotta just consciously decide every day, like, that I don't want to do this. The same way you think about doing what you do, you have to think about it not doing it. I put as much effort into living drug-free as I did. I go hard living drug-free because I went hard for drugs. So I'm living that same life, just not with the drugs. I just go hard for everything else.
Wow. This has been great. I love this. I always... You know, you start out this conversation, because that's really all we have in this, courageous conversations, right? And you start them off, and you're like, oh, I'm going to have plenty of time. And then you look around, and the clock is busy moving.
Yes.
So we are getting down to the end of this, and it comes so quickly.
Yes.
So I want to, because you touched a few things, I want to let the Thriver Nation know. And I call my audience the Thriver Nation because, of course, we are really, we feel very strongly and we promote being a thriver, which, of course, is going past being a survivor. And so this is the Thriver Nation. And so I want to let them know that a lot of things that you've talked about had to do with childhood trauma, right? And so that childhood trauma, of course, you are now an adult, and you went through adulthood. And I'm always telling my audience that I know that we may be adults because, of course, every year you go around the sun another year and you have a birthday, right? But if the trauma happened when you were, you know, 3, 4, 5, 7, 9, 12, whatever, those are the ages where you are still stuck there. And so a lot of things that we've experienced, and it hurts us along the way, and we become adults, but we still deal with that hopelessness. We still deal with that, those anxieties, and we can even have those, you know, some suicidal thoughts. We can have the depression, of course. Some insomnia. I know I suffered from insomnia for a long time, which, of course, I got pills from my doctor from that, but then I became addicted to those pills. So whereas I thought that I was better than my parents by not, you know, drinking like they drink, but I was addicted to prescription pills. So it's still that addiction there when you go through that childhood trauma. You know, and like you said, it's hard to deal with relationships. You not only went through domestic violence, but you became a perpetrator yourself, as you have stated, because it's hard for us to have those healthy relationships when you've gone through childhood trauma. And so I wanted to make sure that I put that out there and let everyone know that the reason why you've gone through these things and you experienced it to even get attracted to the crack cocaine, because it's an attraction, because it takes you away from the bad things that are happening. It takes you from away from reality, and it takes you to another world. But we don't understand that world is a world of the rabbit hole we don't want to go down, right?
Right.
So, so happy for you. So happy that you have made it out and that you are continuing to be a thriver. You're continuing to not only give yourself hope, but give hope to others, because laughter is so good and it really is so healthy for people. So I love that you're doing that and that you're making a living out of it, and that you're also giving back to those who come to the museum, teaching them about that culture, bringing awareness. And that kind of stuff. So thank you. I'm just going to keep saying thank you to you, because we need this. And I love that I'm connected to you. Like, I feel like, you know, I'm glad that I found this cousin. I'm glad that I found this family member. But it goes beyond that. I'm glad that you are a part of the community of the thrivers, the community of teaching others how to come out of trauma and to advance and to triumph. And so thank you again.
You are welcome. I got somebody texting me. I don't know. Do you take calls?
We wouldn't. Can they send you their question? Can they tell you what their question is? We can take it, because I think it's going to be, I'm not sure if they'll be. Are they on the line right now?
I think so. They must be. Yeah, they just texted me and said, Lady Michelle taking questions. I can only find out by asking.
my producer may be able to open the line for them. She may be able.
Okay.
Let's see if she could do that. They can say hello. Let me just think. We got just a few more minutes. Let's see. All right. Okay. Let's give it one more second. Hold on. Let's see what we can do here. They wanna talk to us today. Hello, are you there?
Yes,
okay.
I'm here.
All right, hi.
Hi, is Lady Michelle and Osuna?
Yes.
How y'all doing this evening? I'm not gonna keep y'all. I just happen to be on my Instagram, and I know both of y'all. I'm not gonna tell y'all who I am, but I'm gonna give y'all this question, especially Osuna. If God gave you a roadmap to all your bad decisions, would you take that roadmap? Or would you just go through those bad decisions on your own? Number two, the trauma that others, you know, you said you got people who you have to leave alone because they're still in that trauma. So leave them alone. I'm going to tell you who I am. This is Linda, Tough Cookie in Sacramento, California, Starletta's friend. And you know who I am.
Oh, hello. Hi. How are you?
I'm good. I'm good.
Well, thank you for tuning in. Thank you for
yes.
Well, thank you for those amazing questions.
Yeah, that's a good question. Mm-hmm. That roadmap question. I don't know if God gave me a roadmap. Well, I think I would have to trust that, you know, with this roadmap, it would come tools where I would hope God would give me tools to help me maneuver through those decisions and bad times, the tools that I didn't have. But I guess he might have already given them to me, you know, because I made it. Because I made it. And I learned how to use those feelings now. I know how to use my feelings. I didn't know how to use them then, but now I do. So, yeah, I think I would take that roadmap from God.
Right.
Awesome. Yes, yes. Thank you. Thank you. That's a great question. And I tell you, we might have to make a show out of that question.
I was thinking that. Like, what do we do with that decision? How do we need, I love that.
Okay. You know, all right. Well, Linda, you stay tuned because I might have to call you to come on to do a show about that.
Well, this is on super time. I ain't going to say too much. This is her time. I just want to throw out that question. And, you know, God bless you both. And, you know, trauma don't last always unless you let it last always.
All right. Thank you so much.
That's right.
Congratulations to you both.
All right. Thank you. Have a great evening.
You're welcome.
All right. So that was awesome. That was a great, like I said, that was an amazing question, and it really was a great way to even end it because I was going to, you know, ask for some final thoughts, but that's a great final thought right there.
Yeah, I'm still thinking. Like,
yes. So, oh, wow. So, all right, so give us, because, again, we only have a few more minutes. However, I want you to make sure you give everyone your contact information. How can they contact you on social media or whatever way? Okay?
All right. Well, Facebook is regular. My name, Osunji, O-S-U-N-J-I-I, Yeldell, Y-E-L-D-E-L-L, Osunji Yeldell on Facebook. On Instagram, I am Osunji, O-S-U-N-J-I-I, and then _ Trap House Trina, which is my character here at the Trap. On TikTok, which I'm a fool on TikTok. If y'all would love to follow me on TikTok, my TikTokers, it is Trap_House_Trina. You can also find my book on Amazon.com. Just type in The Devil Wrote Me a Letter. You can type The Devil Wrote Me a Letter on Google. I will pop up, and you can buy my book from a lot of media off of there. If you just type it on Google, The Devil Wrote Me a Letter. And you can always follow me on any one of my social medias to see where any of my shows are. And because I'm always working, because God is good. And so I have a lot of comedy shows going on. So follow me, and follow me.
Awesome. Wow, I love it. So here it is. We are after a couple of minutes, the last couple of minutes, but I want to make sure, because we've given a lot of information tonight, so I want to make sure that I always provide you with the tools needed. So I'm going to give you a domestic violence number, and I'm going to also give you a suicide prevention lifeline number, because we have talked about those things on here. So if anyone is experiencing that, you can call for the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline. You can call 800-273-8255. They are available 24 hours a day. And for the National Domestic Violence number, it's 800-799-7233. And so we have had an amazing night tonight. I'm so excited to have been talking with Osunji. Lord, I'm going to practice your name. I'm going to call you all
no,
and practice your name.
Right.
I can get
you just said it right.
Okay, awesome. So my final thoughts, of course, for Youth Thriver Nation is, you know, we always talk about being kind and being kind to one another, but we always take it a step further and we say be kind to yourself. And please don't ever forget that you are no longer a victim. You are more than a survivor. You are a survivor. Always, 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 please remember that. You know how I feel about that. Of course, you know, next week we'll have another amazing guest because we always, always have amazing guests on this show, on Speak Your Peace with Lady Michelle, always. But, again, we're just going to say thank you to our guest tonight. We definitely love her. We wish her so much the best of everything. Please go and follow her. Support her in any way that you can. Purchase a book. Do, you know, if you're in her state, in Atlanta, and everybody goes to Atlanta. Like, we always, always, somebody going to fly through Atlanta. Make a stop. Hit that museum. Or
that's
one
right.
of the shows. Or just look, she may be coming to your state. So, you know, just hook her up.
That's right.
Go
book me.
Book her and tell her that you heard about her or Speak Your Peace with Lady Michelle. All right? Woo! So we are going to get ready to go ahead and end the show. I love you guys so very much. Without you all tuning in every week, this show would not be anything. So I just appreciate every one of you. We're going to make sure that take a moment right now. Let's just take a quick second to thank the best producer on this side of heaven, our own Kimmy Kim. We love her dearly. We couldn't do this without her. She keeps us together. She has the Elation family that we are a part of. We are on every platform. You can find our podcast on every major platform, Spotify, iTunes, Apple, everything, everything. iHeart, go there, you'll find us, okay, the whole entire Elation family. So make sure you do that. Look us up. And so we want to thank her. That's our own Dr. Kimmy Kim. So woo, 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 woo. We'll do our own hand claps for that. Yay, 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 yay. And before we get out of here, again, thank you for this amazing show, everyone. I want to remind all my thrivers that when you love yourself, you are healed. And when you are healed, you are loved. Wow. Have a great week. I love you all. Thank you, Osunji, for coming.
Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. So good night, everybody. Have a wonderful, wonderful week. I love
good
you
night.
All.
Good
all right.
night.
Pick your head up.